take me away. Sunshine, take me away. Take me away. Sunshine, take me away. Where the people say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Need to ditch this place.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Let's go.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BuildTheScene.com/radio, RootaRootRadio.com, and 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. This is episode number 456. We had a little bit of technical difficulties when we started recording this episode, so we're going to join it at a point where the band had already been talking, but with me on this episode is Highway Louie, and we're joining it where they're telling about their band. So bear with us. You'll be able to figure out what's going on in just a few seconds, I think. Check it out. This is 456.
Quite a few years passed, and we were putting Highway Louie together, and we had spent the longest time looking for a drummer. Various ads on Craigslist and stuff. And Eric and I would switch back and forth. I would post an ad using like my words, and then we'd run it for a while, and then we'd swap and we'd post it for a while using his words. And the first day that he posted his ad, I said, if a guy named Rick Bierbauer sends you an email, you forward that to me immediately. This is the guy we're looking for. And like before the day was over, he was like, Here's this email. Is this the guy you're talking about? And it was absolutely that. And I emailed Rick, and I was like, I don't know if you remember me, but and right away he was like, oh yeah, for sure. And he had been thinking of me for a couple of days, because a guy by the same name as myself was arrested for like a couple hundred pounds of heroin possession in like Mount Pleasant or something. And everybody that knew me that day, they were like texting me. They're like, what did you do? Like, what? And I was like, nothing. Like, I don't, you know, like, I mean, if I did, I wouldn't get arrested for it, but I ain't, you know, I mean, Jesus. And so he was like, yeah, I heard that name in the news. And I was thinking of you. And then I answered this email, and it turned it. And so it was like this cosmic moment, to, you know, 20 years in the making. And it was cool to have, That was like the, like we knew right away, like that was the last piece of the puzzle. You know, I mean, it was the whole band was basically put together via Craigslist. Andrew and I had played in a project, and it had never been a question for me for like, he's the guy that I need on bass. You know, I mean, I've always said I need a guy on bass who's capable of leading the band. You know, bass and drums are kind of like what I consider some of the most important elements in. And I hadn't talked to Andrew in a couple of years, and I contacted him. I was like, hey, do you want to play music? He was like, absolutely, like super pumped. And my goal with, you know, like putting, you know, we all found each other like at the cool right time. Like Eric had moved in from Somerset and just happened to be here. And he answered the ad, and I was like, oh, I'm here in Jeanette. And he was like, oh, I'm just moving there. And it turns out we live like a couple blocks away from each other. Yeah. And my goal was like, you know, I'm in my 30s, and it's harder to make connections with people. You got a busy life, family and stuff. And I wanted to focus on friends and chemistry. And, you know, I wasn't so focused on the music as much as I was focused on the fun. And, it wound up, I found a group of brothers, and what we all at least think our music is awesome. And I guess it got us here, which we really appreciate. And that's kind of the story of really how we came
to be
together. Yeah. You know, Craig,
I actually still have that email from Rick.
Yeah. I saved all of
I
our,
was just like, looking at it the other day.
That's awesome.
It's funny, 'cause we all text each other, you know, and we got a group text and everything, and we always make each other laugh. And it was just like, man, I was like, how long have we known? It was like, February 17th or February of 17 that you like messaged us. So that was like, awesome.
Yeah. We had been about 2 years struggled then? Putting,
It's been about 2 years since we, you know, met Rick and said, this is Highway Louie, you know.
We had been a band. Eric and Andrew and I had been writing songs, and we had been auditioning. It was first me and Andrew and another guy, and we were auditioning for guitarists. And the first time I met Eric, I was like, I need this guy around me all the time. And so then it was the three of us, and we started writing and auditioning drummers. And I don't, you know, what, we spent 6 or 8 months auditioning drummers.
It's been a good while auditioning drummers. We took that pretty seriously. I mean, I think the three of us came together pretty quickly, but like you said, we kind of, there was kind of something special there, and we all were, became really good friends really quickly. They had already been friends for a good while, and we wanted a fourth person, especially drummer, your rhythm section, the person that's keeping the time in everything you're doing. That person's critical to be able to like connect with, you know,
yeah,
on multiple levels. So when you can, when you can do that, that really, it changes a lot of things.
Well, it has to be, it had to, the chemistry had to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I mean, I didn't care if it was a person that I had to sit down and be like, just count 1, 2, 3, 4, hit the snare here. It had to be the chemistry. I mean, otherwise, I mean, we practice at his house now, and we started out practicing at my house, and like, I'm not going to have people I don't like at my house. I don't care how good the music is, you know?
That's understandable. Tell me about an embarrassing moment on stage, but you're not allowed to tell me about your own embarrassing moment. You have to tell me about someone else's in the band. So they may not have thought it was embarrassing, but it may have embarrassed you.
So we played a show last week, and I know that I definitely noticed it, but I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but we do a cover of Pink Floyd's Pigs, and there's a certain solo at the end, and I don't know if everybody knew where we were, but I was totally not playing like what was supposed to happen, but nobody else said anything until right now when I said this, so that's my story.
that's so true. I just to elaborate on that, we totally got messed up, and it worked out just fine, because as long as you end strong, that's the game.
I, in general, never know what's going on, you know. So,
but what happened was, at least for me, I could tell you, because I haven't told you guys yet, but Andrew had just gotten an extension cab for his bass amp, so he had a 115 cab on my side, like right on my side, like a side fill, and now I can hear I couldn't hear anything he was doing. Like ever. unless he really punched through with a compressor or like loud, it was very hard to hear, especially on a big stage. So when he had that side fill in that part where we got lost, that's where he kind of like comes in just slamming, and it scared the shit out of me. Oh, see, here
that
we
one's
are.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
See, I didn't even
I was like, what is happening? What is happening? It was excellent, but it was just like, it caught me so off guard. I was just like, you know, so I mean, that was more on me, but I just had to elaborate on that since we were going to bring it, we hadn't brought it up, but since we brought it up, I had to mention that fact. That was my contribution to why that went south.
I don't know that I've ever had a moment. And honestly, with any time with any group of people I've ever been on, I'm so in awe of performers and other musicians. You know, I don't consider myself a musician so much as I just consider myself, you know, a performer, just an ambitious individual. And I always say I like to be the hardest working guy in a room. So I surround myself with people that I look up to and that I feel are better than me and make me work harder. So when I'm on stage or when I'm performing with a group of people, I always feel like I'm just lucky to be there. And I mean, it sounds corny, I guess, you know, or me being mushy, but like I'm in awe of these guys all the time. And to me, we practice and we work hard and we get up there. And to me, these guys behind me are flawless. And that is, whether or not that's the reality, that's what it is in my mind. And that's what I see, because that's where my confidence comes from. My confidence on stage comes from the fact that I know that these guys are flawless behind me and they have my back no matter what I'm doing. Cause I assume that the most embarrassing guy on stage is going to be me. And that's my position.
It's kind of the job, right?
Yeah.
When we play live, I bring back no negativity. It's all positivity out there.
Yeah,
it's a blast.
Yeah, I never would think, like, you know, I've been to shows, like I was at a show and I'm not going to mention their name, even though this would be a great plug for them, because I definitely became a fan. But one of the things that you're kind of always afraid of is like falling over and
pulling the plug.
And I tend to be relatively clumsy, you know, just like in life. But I was at a show And this band, these guys were going crazy. They were going awesome and super amount of energy. And the bass player was just he had so much energy. And all of a sudden I see this mic stand go flying. And I think like, yeah, rock and roll. That dude just kicked the mic stand. The very next second he goes flying and like, you know, he totally tripped and he fell. And then he just got up, picked the mic stand back up. Everybody was like, yeah, woo. And he just kept rocking. And I was like, that dude just showed me that I don't need to be afraid of that happening because of how rock and roll that moment was. And the fact that, you know, no big deal. You get up and you keep moving. And that's like, you'll hear me talk about Steve Hawk all the time. And he's one of my favorite, if not my, like the favorite performer of mine in Pittsburgh. And it's because of the flawed moments and how this guy, and I just saw him the other night at a place called the Craft House, which is an amazing venue. And this dude gets up by himself and brings this energy. And now that performance was flawless. Like it was amazing. But when he messes up, he simply smiles and makes a joke about it and keeps moving. And it lets you know that there's really nothing to be afraid of. And that's all of these guys in the scene, like not just my band, but all of these other bands that I admire and I watch, they help me be confident, you know, they help you be less afraid. And that's, I think that's what's, you know, we're,
it's not to say we don't do some, you know, shoulder dancing.
We try to, when we practice, we try to work on our moves, man, you know, because you don't want to just stand around. Like, I don't want to just stand around. And we joked about like a choreography. We got a video of our last show and there's a moment where Eric and I are doing this. It looks like we practiced and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, I guess we're going to have to
can't tell we play that song together often.
Yeah. And that's chemistry, right? You know, that's what it is. You start moving together.
Well, you mentioned the scene and, if you could change one thing about the scene, what would it be? And what's one thing that you would absolutely not change because you love it?
Well, something that I had wanted to change and I do see it changing now. Is you have that years ago and when we were putting Highway Louie together and Eric listens to a lot of podcasts and outside of the Pittsburgh music scene, we're kind of looked at and especially our Craigslist musician. It's brutal on there's people on there that take it upon themselves to berate and police people. And it's completely absurd. And they look at us as almost sort of having this crab pot mentality. When one band gets close to breaking it, all the other bands desperately pull that band back in. And like 10 years ago in the scene, you still had this throwback from like kind of the last era where we had bands come out of here, which was the 90s. And in the 90s, you know, it was sort of like a pretentious kind of rock and roll era. And you know, even up to 10 years ago, everything in bands was very proprietary. If you had a connection, you kept that to yourself. And everybody was trying hard almost not to perform to their fans, but to outdo each other. And I've always been a guy who's just like, man, let's just have fun and enjoy this one go around we have in life. And I don't buy into the idea that only I can be successful. I think that all of us, because it is the whole scene, like we're all only going to make it because of each other. And getting out, when we started booking shows, as soon as I would come with a good connection, I would bring my friends' bands and the bands that I liked with us, and we would work together. And now you really see this element in Pittsburgh of bands cross-promoting each other and going to each other's shows. And we try to have parties where we all hang out, because if you look at some of the best eras of music, it wasn't just one band that defined the scene. It was the scene that a bunch of good bands came from. And that's because at this level, other bands and other musicians, we are our biggest supporters. We are our biggest fans. And for me, I feel super fortunate and super lucky that the only music I really listen to other than like the Foo Fighters is Pittsburgh music. And I get to play and share the stage with my musical heroes, people that I admire and look up to. And I have no problem shouting from the mountaintops that there's amazing things happening in Pittsburgh. And if Highway Louie is included in that amazingness, I'm happy to be a part of it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like would I love for us to have a platinum selling album with number one hit records? Yeah, absolutely. But do I believe that someone from Pittsburgh will? Oh yeah, even more so. And so that means that when my time on this planet is done and I reflect on a life lived, I can say that I was there and a part of that then, and maybe my actions and interests and passions contributed to something amazing happening and a lot of people's dreams coming true. And I think that's way cooler than, you know, maybe being a one-hit wonder.
That was an awesome answer.
Thanks. I tend to ramble.
That's why he fronts this.
That's kind of the goal of what I do. All the Build the Scene, Pennsylvania Rock Show, Three Questions and a Song, all of that. The point of that is to get the music out and get it heard. Because I did recognize that the music scene in southwestern Pennsylvania has and this is going to sound so cliche, but a ton of great music.
But, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is amazing music, and it's right down the street. It's everywhere.
And it's for some reason the major labels just kind of ignore us. So, you know, back in 2004 when all this started for me, that was my goal, was just to get it heard.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we were very excited to be, you know, a part of this. And, you know, there's a lot of us and a lot of guys that you've had on your podcast have been played. There's a radio station in West Virginia from Morgantown. That's WCLG. And this guy that runs their Homegrown Hour, it's an hour of music on Sunday nights, has gone and found just the hardest working, the best underground unsigned bands. And he's like, I'm giving you guys a chance to dominate an hour of radio. It's a fan driven thing where people, you know, via Facebook request the music. And I think we've been a part of it, I don't know, like 6 months or something now. And yeah, it is seriously the best hour of music on the radio. It's entirely fan driven. Yeah. And it's a revolution. It's awesome. And it's the power of, now it's connected us, our Pittsburgh scene, with there's awesome bands in Maryland, there's awesome bands in Ohio and West Virginia. And now we're all connected through this type of a podcast or that WCLG. And we're all working together to say, hey, we're doing awesome stuff out here.
And I think that's a big thing with, you know, like you had mentioned, like record labels or you know, different industries taking a look at musicians and people in the Pittsburgh area, artists all over, you know, a lot of local bands. And I think one of the things that you also have is they're looking for fans. They're looking for people to come out and see them, see live music. That's a big thing. It's venues are getting harder and harder to come by every day. They're harder and harder to run. And that's a big thing. But I think one of the things that to take out of that is, positivity and community. Whenever you have bands supporting other bands,
it's energy.
Yeah. And it's positive energy and
it's promotion. That's what gets the fans
and
to the venue.
Exactly. And when you're supporting other bands and you're supporting your music scene, people see that and people want to support something that's being supported.
People will
Everyone wants to be a helping hand. No one wants to be the first hand to pick it up. Because it's the heaviest weight. You're the first person to pick that. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
So this is going to sound like it has nothing to do with that. But I was at a stadium series game, Chicago versus Pittsburgh Penguins. And I was in the second row of my section. And it was -2 degrees in Chicago.
Wow.
You know, not -2 wind chill, -2 without the wind in the Windy City.
Wow.
And yeah, I was begging the people in front of me to stand up so that I could stand up because I didn't want to be the first person to stand. So similar to what you're saying, you know, you don't want to.
It's the hardest thing to do. But as soon as people start standing up, what does everybody
stand.
Do? Everybody does it because they're like, look at this. I want to be part of that because that's what's happening.
I just want to warm up.
Well, that's it. Well, people want to have it. People want to be entertained.
But yeah,
you know, and that's the thing. But nobody wants to have negative entertainment.
Well, everybody,
you know, nobody wants to go out and experience negative vibes.
Everybody says negativity is contagious.
It is. And a smile is too. You know?
I believe that positivity is contagious. It's just a little bit, it takes a little bit more hard work. I spent a long time in my life in a very negative place and very like angry, short-sighted. And it was actually, you know, this is another cliche, but the martial arts kind of focused me and it was like it changed my life and I mean the Highway Louie, I did it competitively and I took several state championship titles and I was never a champion in my life and that showed me that I was, and music being in a band and just affecting people has always been a passion. And it was something I had kind of given up on. And I got this renewed spirit in my life that was like, you can literally, you can do anything if you just put your mind to it. You know, I mean, it's like Jim Carrey talking about writing himself that check for $10 million and visualizing it. And then when he got his first, you know, paycheck from Ace Ventura a year later, you know, it was like the power of positive visualization. And it was things when I first met Eric, he would say, he had said something like, I never got anywhere by kicking anyone's ass. I only got places by having my ass kicked. And it lends right into that being the first to stand up. And something my father said, like, anybody can find the negative in a situation and get angry, but it takes the patient man and the smart man and the wise man to look back and say, well, why is this situation occurring? And what are the positives? What can we do with this? And if you, it's not being delusional, it's choosing to have the right perspective, because when you do that, it helps everyone else around you choose to have the right perspective. And I would rather be highly motivated for positivity, you know, than for negativity, because you accomplish some people, it get, and then full circle right back into the promotion, you know, because it makes people excited, and that's positivity, you know, and that's what Highway Louie music is all about. You know, I mean, we don't try to talk about politics or religion or none of that crap. It's just, man, life and death, all that we know. And it's about enjoying this experience.
So which Highway Louie song do you guys have lined up for me to play in this episode?
You had said that you have Highway, you have Cosmos, and you have Kilowatt Cadillac. We just sent you Kilowatt Cadillac. Kilowatt is our newest release. Cosmos was the first one. It would be one of those two. You know, I mean, we're very proud of all of our material, but it would definitely, Highway was a song that we did early on in this room that we're sitting in. And it's there a great recording.
There are
two
old recordings out there that we recorded everything in.
We're leaps and bounds beyond, you know, that we still play those songs, but the execution of those songs is much more epic.
You want to go with Kilowatt Cadillac then?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. I know that you've at least heard Cosmos. You know, you've been playing some of our.
I'm willing to be blindsided.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, you could choose and whatever. But
I also like to live dangerously.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that track, and then we'll take a short break?
Which about, track?
Kilowatt Cadillac. I can't even get that out of my mouth today.
Yeah, it is kind of Highway Louie, there was a real life guy the town that we play a lot of our shows in, you know, Irwin, in the 1950s and 60s, this super over the top eccentric gentleman that was just, I always heard all these awesome stories about this guy, and he is the namesake of our band. And when I was scouring the internet to find any kind of information, like, is there any stories of this guy, you know, do we have search engine optimization? Is there any other band's name? The only other story I could find was this. It was a guy that was a ham radio fanatic, and he drove around the country in this dolled up Cadillac that he had all this amateur radio equipment in, and they called it famously the Kilowatt Cadillac. And my dad had my whole family. We all have our amateur radio licenses. My father is very big into that. And he had a story about a guy that basically had the same setup, and it wasn't the same Highway Louie. It turned out that this guy's completely different. But the Kilowatt Cadillac is a song. Again, it became a metaphor for life. Us, we are the Kilowatt Cadillac, and the song is essentially about learning to just let go and enjoy the ride and kind of like shed everything else, because it's all in your mind, man. You know, this is a great opportunity that we have, and you just got to take it by the wheel. And it's sort of like, you know, in one element of the chorus, it's get behind the wheel, but the song ends of you gotta, at the end, you're in the driver's seat, but you gotta let go of that wheel. That's maybe not good advice for actually being on the highway, but life is a highway. You know? So in the Kilowatt Cadillac, I try to be creative. I don't know how good at it that I am, but you figure we're Highway Louie, and a kilowatt Cadillac is on the highway, and we are the vessel of the kilowatt Cadillac, and life is a highway, and all of that stuff. So I just try to be everything that I do, from the name of our band to, like, you know, everything has, you know, it's the stuff that keeps me up at night. These ridiculous stories and tales and things, but that's why we're, you know, artists.
Okay, so you are tuned in to episode 456 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. We're going to take a short break, and you are going to get to hear Kilowatt Cadillac by Highway Louie, and we will be right back.
Just a little bit, everything. Come on, take a ride. Go ahead and leave the
If you just tuned in, this is episode 456 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me is the gentleman from, or are the gentleman from Highway Louie. You just heard their song, Kilowatt Cadillac. I'm sure they would love to hear any feedback. So if you, how could they give you some feedback on your Facebook page, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Go to our Facebook. We have our Kilowatt Cadillac. Other than that, playthrough you just did is exclusive right now to WCLG FM. We are in the process of making a video and then we'll release it. But right now, the only music video and single you can view is on our Facebook page. That's for Cosmos. We do have two other songs on our Reverb Nation page. You're welcome to check those out, but they're older, low quality recordings. We are still extremely proud of them.
Yeah, those were done in here.
But yeah, Facebook, that's the way to go.
Okay. Yeah. If they wanted to get a copy of any of your tracks, what's the best way to do that besides coming to one of your upcoming shows?
I guess, you know, download. I don't know that we really have so like Reverb Nation, you know, won't let you upload a file over a certain size, and we have to just cut down our song, you know, like the singles that we have to put on the free version of Reverb Nation because we're cheap. And then it'll just be available for, you know, free download. We're not, you know, we're not stingy. Maybe once we're finished, you know, singles and we do an EP, we'll have like, you know, something for sale. But, you know, we're not, we would just rather you have access to our music and you take it and you enjoy it. And, you know, I mean, you're feeding our ego is better to us than money for the time being.
If an apocalypse happened and only one Highway Louie song survived for the people that managed to make it through the apocalypse, which song would you want to survive and why?
I mean, probably for me, Highway. And that was like our very first song. It was the first song that I ever wrote. It's probably one of my, you know, something I'm extremely proud of. And it being like our oldest song, it's one of our most powerful. And, you know, it's one you can hear on the Reverb Nation, but like to hear it live and where it's at now is, I mean, all of our songs are epically awesome, but to me, at least that one's super special, even though that's a little bit, I guess, sort of, you know, selfish because that one, you know, that was something that was like, hey, group, here's this song that I have, you know, we all contributed our parts. It wasn't like I had the bass line or anything written, but other than basically two songs, everything else after that was written by us as a group, you know. I don't know, what do you think?
I agree.
Anybody else want to interject on that one?
Highway would be my second choice, but my first choice is Kilowatt, just because it is to me a perfect mix of all of our musical backgrounds. Yeah, like you can
that's
hear
a good
it
point. That's definitely true.
And to me that's important, is when you hear someone's roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Kilowatt definitely is like,
yeah,
the
Kilowatt's
representation.
Got a great vibe.
That's the representation of the very first song, you know what I mean, because that one was like, hey, here's an idea, and then in like one night
that's
we're
such
like, bam.
It's such a hard question that's a really hard question to answer, because every one of these songs are a different thing to me, and every one is just as important. It's like being happy and sad. It doesn't matter. You don't appreciate happy if you've never been sad.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah, I like all of our material. We've been playing these same songs, and I'm not tired of them. Like I get just as much of a rush every time we play.
A lot of my questions that I ask come from something I heard somewhere else, and I just adjust them. So mm-hmm. I was watching the Umbrella Academy on Netflix the other day, and this question kind of comes from there, and it kind of feeds off the apocalypse question too. So if there were 2 days left on Earth and you had one day to travel somewhere and one day to spend there, where would you go and who would you take with you? And you're going, this doesn't have to do with music, but it's still a cool question.
Man, I would stay at home with my family. I've always been a reader. I'm a homebody. I've traveled everywhere in places that don't even exist through books. I'm pretty content. You know, if you're not happy wherever you at, you ain't going to be happy anywhere. So like for me, it would be wherever I am, as long as, you know, my wife and my kids are with me.
I've always kind of wanted to go to Germany, so probably there. And I would take my dog.
I would just stay at home and have game night with my daughter. Board games, Mario Party.
I would take my wife. We would definitely go to Australia. That would be where we would go.
That's definitely going to take the full day to get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I think it'd be worth it. But we'd have to leave here in winter so that we could be there for summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just swapped.
Swapped, yeah. You don't want to leave. Yeah, we're going on a vacation in July to Australia. You get there with flip-flops and find out.
I just want to go to Walkabout Creek and like, see where Crocodile Dundee was from. That's what I want to do.
I think it'd be a blast.
And that's cool. That's risky business. Honestly, man, that's super. Like here in Pennsylvania, we really don't have anything that's going to get you. I'm not really looking
there,
to go.
They definitely do.
I don't even like going, like, you know, we go to the ocean every year on vacation. I'm like, I'll just hang out on the beach because I've lived with myself for 34 years now. And I know if there's 10,000 people on the beach and one dude's going to get attacked by a sea monster, it's going to be me. So, like, you know, I'm cool. We've explored more of our immediate solar system than we have of our own ocean. So, like, you know, I'm happy kind of like, you know, right where I'm at.
Yeah, I believe that the percentage they tack on there is like 3% of the ocean has been explored. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pittsburgh rock music is an ocean and only 3% has been discovered. How about that?
I like that.
We just
I may have to add that to my intro to the show now. Yeah, tack it on.
I'm very passionate about Pittsburgh rock music. We got Fubar and Steve Hawk and the guys from First Hit and Inbound and Caught on Sight. And I mean, I'm so many bands. There's too many to list. The young guys, Kelber. I mentioned bands from out of state. I think these guys are from Maryland. We just discovered them on last week's WCLG broadcast. They're called Water Trash. And I think these dudes are super young and it's like this awesome 60s sounding surf rock. Like it's super cool. A band called Melophobia, another group of young dudes from Pittsburgh and Kelber. I mean, these guys just graduated high school and here's like a good group of super young individuals that are creating 60s and 70s esque rock and roll because like that's the good music. Everybody's out there saying, oh, there's no good music. And kids these days, you know, they don't know. Dude, there are kids out there writing and performing music better than some of us seasoned vets that have been doing this all of our lives. There is some amazing stuff in Pittsburgh, and like I'm loving every minute of it. The scene is active and vibrant right now, and it is super cool to be a part of it. Like shows are packed. People are coming to shows. It hasn't always been that way in Pittsburgh, but it's because you don't have that proprietary band element. Bands now are promoting each other. They're working for the fans. They're not simply saying, oh, well, I'm writing my music for myself and I don't care about the fans. No, the fans, you are our fifth member. Like you, like that's, we take into consideration like the presentation of our product and it's about fun. It's about positivity. Why else are we there? We're getting up with a lot of energy and the fans give it back. And that's what gets you to rock shows. You jump around. We dancing on stage, you know what I mean? Like it's fun and there's people having fun. You got venues like Jill at the Keynote. I mean, just providing this level opened, like incubator for these younger bands to be able to get out, hone their craft and show some of us older guys really what's up and even be able to be our peers. We can play shows. A lot of venues are like, we don't care if you're under 21. If you're here to play a show, you're in the door because people want to hear it. Yep. And it's not, oh, I've been doing this for so long. So like, you know, no, like you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And this is a great time to be playing because you have super hardworking, passionate young people and you have super hardworking, passionate, you know, veterans that are, we're all out here doing this thing and we're all working together and we wind up on podcasts. You know, we're going to be working with a local cable company. We're going to make our cable television debut. And that's cool. That's because the scene wants us there and we appreciate that. And you better believe that everything we do is for the people that are paying at the door to come see us.
I do want to thank you for coming on the show. And yeah,
thank you for having us. This was absolutely awesome. This is a great amount of fun.
And we could definitely do it again, but just like playing shows, we need to separate them out a little bit so we're not oversaturating.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
And I once I get once I get Kilowatt Cadillac, I will get it added to Build the Scene's rotation as well, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you very much.
We appreciate that.
So you've been listening to episode number 456 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show, PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BuildTheScene.com, RootaRooRadio.com, and 107.1 FM. If you give me just a moment, I will tell you who is coming up next on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, because just like you guys, I need to go to the website and double check.
Thanks again for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem. So Human Delusion will be April 5th. Fubar, who you guys just mentioned.
Fubar.
Yeah, that's
April 12th.
That's a good one.
Wretched Hive on the 19th, Feast on the Fallen, April 26th, and then Liveburg Studio, May 3rd, which is a tour house, if you guys aren't familiar with that. I see some heads shaking. So it's a house that basically bands that are coming through Pittsburgh can rent. So they have somewhere to stay.
Nice. That's cool. Great. See, man, the scene is so – that's awesome. Hearing stuff like that is so cool. How supportive.
And that's what I have scheduled for now. So if there's anybody out there listening that wants to be on the show, drop me an email at bill@parockshow.com. Also, I do the three questions and a song, which features one song from a band, and just three questions, which makes it really fast. But if you have a song that you want to feature, maybe you're getting ready to release a song or something along those lines, you can get in touch with me for that one at bill@buildthescene.com. So there's all that going on.
Can we plug our next show before we get out of here?
Absolutely.
On April 20th, we are playing a 420 show at Cafe Supreme in Irwin. We will be playing with Habitat, Fubar, Red Sun, and Steve Hawk will be opening. It will be $8 at the door. We will have craft vendors. Food will be available for purchase by Cafe Supreme, and you know they have a full bar down there.
As drinks, yeah.
The venue is awesome. It'll be 21 and up, and it'll be a good time. That's like one of our favorite venues.
For
so
sure.
We hope to see us. If you heard about us on here, come up and say hello, man. We're pretty friendly.
Okay, so make sure you hit up that show. And once again, this has been episode 456 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Holding
put a hashtag on that.